Welcome, welcome. Today, we are thrilled to introduce you to people that are outside of the real estate world, which is going to be fabulous because these are two ladies that I've gotten to know really well. They are two people that helped raise my kiddos along with the amazing teachers over there at Willowdale Children's Academy. And but the really cool thing is that there's multiple businesses and locations involved here. There are so many people involved in this. There's so much good, rich stuff to dive into that Christy and I are like super excited today. So welcome to the Leader Equation. I'm Lindsay Soprani, if you don't know who I am. I'm the CEO of Soprani Consulting. We're the top recruiting and consulting firm in the country for all things real estate. And I'm here with my amazing co-host, Christy Belt Grossman, CEO of Ops Boss Coaching, the ultimate resource for training and coaching all real estate ops bosses. Welcome to the Leader Equation. So, Melanie, you and Jackie have been together for 14 years.
Yep.
Which is just amazing to us. That's probably, actually, that might be one of the longest relationships that we've had on this show, which is super fun. So, but tell us really quickly in just a couple words, you know, introduce yourselves. What did you do before you purchased Willowdale? And, you know, Jackie, you'll explain a little bit about how you came into Melanie's world. And then we'll kick it over to Christy to take us through the quick fire questions. All right.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Melanie. I'm the owner of Willowdale. My career started in, I have a degree in finance. So I went into the financial services world and I worked for a bank. I worked in retail too, doing financials for that also. And then I went into the banking world for about 5 years. And after being burnt out in corporate America and having my three kids facing my own challenges with daycare centers in the area, I decided I can do it better and I wanted to. So the day I was supposed to go back to work after my maternity leave of my third child was my first day on the job of owning Willowdale Children's Academy in Westchester. I bought a daycare in 3 months on maternity leave.
Such a true entrepreneur. So fun. I love it. All right. And Jackie, walk us through, how did you come into Melanie's world? You were there right before her as well.
I was, yeah. So I was about 21, 22-ish, yeah. And I was the pre-K teacher at the daycare that she had bought. So she came in, and I've been there ever since. And since then, I've gotten my degree while working there. So I've always been in the daycare industry, even prior to working at that daycare. I was in the daycare prior to that, too. So I've really only really ever worked in daycare.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I love that. I was like so taken off guard when you said your background was JP Morgan. And I'm like, wait a minute. I thought you were going to say you were a teacher. So this is awesome. Like you have such a business sense. So let's go through the quick fire really quick. And then we're going to get into the really good conversation. So how many years have each of you been in business?
May 14.
Yep. Well, you had prior to this, you're 14.
Oh, like been like professional?
Yeah.
Since I was 21. So 20 to 21 years.
Awesome. And then together for 14.
Yeah.
And then how many locations do you have and how many people are in your entire business?
So there's 5 locations. We have about 50 employees right now.
Okay. Awesome. And then who wants to take morning routine and one of you take evening routine? Like give us your tips for having a great day.
Go ahead, Jack.
So morning wise, I mean, Melanie and I do spend a good amount of like in the morning, we will often have a phone call. We're kind of going over the day or anything from the previous evening that we really kind of need to discuss. So we generally spend about a good 20 minutes on the phone to kind of go through things. And then obviously throughout the day, we're definitely communicating. So
all day.
Yeah, we are really communicating with each other constantly throughout the day to kind of keep up on things to make sure the day is flowing. If there's any major things that she needs to know right away or that I need to know, we're constantly communicating. Same things in the evening. If there's like a pretty much of a closeout, we do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys in the same location or different locations?
Well,
it ranges. So I'm currently at one location as a director, but I rotate between schools to kind of help out and operate since I do kind of help run all of them. Same with her. She just kind of rotates as needed. So
I actually have multiple businesses. So I actually don't only own daycare.
Oh, I didn't know that. What other businesses do you have?
Real estate. development.
All right, let's get along.
So Jackie's like my executive director and does the daycare part. She does everything with the daycares, and then I am really focusing on my real estate also. So Jackie and I, she's really the person I communicate with mostly throughout the business of this business, and it's all day long.
All right, let's hit superpower and then we'll dive into the meat. Do you want to give your superpower or the other person's superpower?
I mean, I am a really good multitasker. That is like my thing. Multitasking, if I'm given one thing to do, I feel like I'm losing my mind.
Yeah.
But if I have like 15, 20 things on my list, I feel great. I'm like trying to power through it and getting through it all. So I would say multitasking.
And I think that's why we're so good at running so many things at the same time. Like why most people couldn't run 5 schools at the same time and have to focus on one. And I have like 5 businesses and they're all like, and we're coming out of a pandemic and we're not struggling too bad. Like things are
awesome.
So good. You know what
I love about you guys is that you finish each other's sentences. Like that's a sign of a true partnership. All right. So for those of you who are joining us for the first time on the Leader Equation, we are chatting with entrepreneurs, their shotgun leaders inside and outside real estate about what adds to the leadership formula, what subtracts, what divides, and most importantly, what multiplies your results. So I'm going to throw it back to Lindsay and we're going to dive into the combo.
Yeah. So walk us through. So Melanie comes in her first day. Jackie, you're not, you know, reporting directly to, well, I guess you are, but you weren't in the position that you're in now. What did that look like, guys? Just walk us through, you know, what was really happening there and how quickly did it take you, Melanie, before you were like, Jackie's my person.
So, all right. So I come in day one and I'm hated because nobody knew that I was even coming because the owner didn't give anybody any heads up notice. It was like a note on Friday before she closed down the school and I show up on Monday morning. So that's how, like, it was not a good step for me to walk into this business. The director hated me. She lasted a week and a half and then she was out. And then the assistant director, who I made the director, she wasn't very strong. But also, I didn't have many allies at the school at that point, so I had to determine who I could trust and who was somebody who's going to have my back. And Jackie was probably somebody that I identified pretty quickly. And another thing that you should know about me is I do not trust anybody. Like I'm probably one of the most skeptical people you will ever meet. And I always assume that there's an ulterior motive for, and it's just, I don't know why. It's just, I'm always like, all right, I need to figure out if that's the truth for real. So I'm not somebody who just like, oh yeah, sure, you come on in and I'm going to give you all the tools or the tricks of the trade. Like you really have to earn my trust and it takes years of consistent showing me that I can trust you before I let you in. And that's how it basically was. It took time, but it was consistent over time. And it was probably over a year that I probably identified it for you.
Yeah, because I was a teacher for a while, so.
Jackie, how did that's a really common thing that we hear actually is the process of how long it takes to earn trust. That's a topic we talk about a lot. Jackie, how did that feel for you for it to take that long to earn her trust?
So the backstory of all of it for me is like prior to her taking over, I had just put in my resignation. Like I had every intention on leaving that school. And then I'll never forget, she came in that Monday and she had her heels on and we were like, oh God, who's this girl walking in? And I just kind of remember that first week, a lot of things kind of changing. You know, I noticed that a lot of the things that were the negative aspects that I didn't like that made me want to resign were changing, and they were changing quickly. So I was kind of always on board with it. Mm-hmm. And so when she says like a year, like I think it was a year until I kind of like took like the management step and helping out with a lot of things in the office. But before then, like we had a good relationship. Like I could say hi to her. I never felt uncomfortable about it. Like she didn't make me nervous or scare me. Right. So she was always very like kind to talk to. So there wasn't anything like that for me where I was fine. I was still growing too. I was young.
She was 22.
I was 22. Like I was young, you know.
But I was only 28. So it's not like I was much older. I was only 28. So I was a baby too.
And I hadn't didn't finish school yet. So like I was okay with like waiting. And then when it was time, it was like the perfect
time. It was just like, it just, everything just kept happening at the right time where like, it just was very gradual and things just like, there was a, like it just, a natural progression of like how it all just happened. And it was just all, it all really just worked out.
And I think that's why we work so well together is because we both kind of evolved into this, right. Like this was new for her and me growing in my position was new for me. So we both kind of evolved together. And then next thing you know, we're just kind of managing and running the businesses.
And, what else also helped was that as I learned, like she said, I was learning the business and she was 22 kind of growing in the business too. So as I developed stuff, she was right there. She's the only employee who's been here since the very beginning, right?
Yeah.
So she's the only one who saw it from what it was to what it is and watched me. It was part of all the decisions that I made throughout the last 14 years. So she really is the only person who understood like the mindset behind it or where the vision was or what the goals were or my personality on why I made those certain decisions or who I fired or parents I kicked out and what happened, like just things like that. Like she was the only person who really understood it. So I think that's why it was just such a natural progression and it just worked out really well.
you know what's so cool about that is that it, like, we have a conversation regularly on this podcast where we talk about how, you know, when like a new leader comes in, it's like a different regime, right? All of a sudden, like a lot of the people go, and it's just, it's I think just what happens, right? And so that happened with you guys, right? Like you, was it slow? Was it pretty quick that you had turnover? What did that look like?
I mean, it happened multiple times.
So yeah, I bought three schools. So of the five, three of them were purchases. It's happened three times and it's quick. So because, and I don't know if you know, like if you hear anything about me as a manager, I'm not like, a lot of the girls usually don't know how to approach me. They usually think that I'm pretty difficult until they actually sit down and talk to me because I think they just think because I have this reputation of being, I'm very decisive and almost unapologetic about my decision. So I make a decision, I know what I want, and I am pretty adamant in the way I want it done. And if you're a teacher, sometimes they're very, very sensitive people. And that's why almost Jackie, who is kind of good at communicating with the teachers and much more than I am, I have to deliver it through her what I want because she was a teacher. So she really understands how to deliver it. Like, so we have an employee in Westchester. My director in Westchester has been working with her for a while. Jackie went in on Friday, put the kibosh down and was like, it's this or you're going to deal with Melanie next. And if it gets to me, it's usually never, ever, ever ends with the employee staying. So Monday morning comes around and I go on the Tadpoles, which is our management system.
Yep.
No pictures have been sent to the families. I am psychotic about this. Like you have to send two pictures every single solitary day about what's going on in the classroom. Two pictures or two videos, mandatory. That is not like, there's not a question about it. You have to do it. The parents can't come into the school right now. The only way they're seeing what's happening in the classroom is by you sending them it was 11 o'clock. Those pictures were not sent. I called her up and was like, it's that classroom gets cleaned up today. This gets done. She resigned an hour later. So, I mean, that's like, I'm usually, if it comes down to me having to handle the situation, I'm much more direct and forceful. Jackie's the softer delivery and she really good about that.
I think that's actually a really common thing of the shotgun leader has to almost be like the interpreter, that I can think like the owner and I can think like the employee or the team and I can balance between the two.
Yeah. And I think that's why also it works so well because she literally knows exactly what I'm thinking. And I'm really good at knowing what she's thinking, but she's almost better than me at it. And she can literally tell somebody how I'm going to react to a situation, how I'm going to answer the question. She can communicate that with parents, exactly how I'm going to respond to something. She knows me so well. And it's from working with me for 14 years and watching all the decisions I've made.
Did you walk in with a really clear vision that you talk about, that one day you walked into the school and now you're in charge? And like, how has your vision evolved?
So I knew what I didn't want. And everything that was going on was not what I wanted. And I had my three kids in the school. So my expectation was, if I was paying for the daycare, I would have to be really comfortable with every employee here. It would have to be a program that I would enroll my kids in. And it was not. So I knew, while I did not know an education at all, I didn't know how to run a daycare center. But I had a vision of what I wanted for my kids. So I created that.
That's
ultimately what I did. And we had a consultant. So we have consultants through Keystone Stars. It's a continuous quality improvement. So I had a consultant who came in, and she actually worked with us on that too, and then helped implement all of the classroom stuff, because I really didn't know much about it. So we had some
of that. Well, and Jackie, so you bought into that vision right in the beginning. I mean, right? Like, you were like, hey, I'm on board.
Yeah, I was always on board with the educational vision. I think what was hard for me was when for me, I just feel like if you're going to pay for childcare, you're going to want to send your kids to a school that you're learning from and they're being educated and you're not being babysat.
Yeah.
Because you can all pay for a babysitter. Right. But you should send your kids to a school that they are learning and it's educational and they're having fun. And the place prior wasn't like that. So it evolved very quickly. Anyone who knows Melanie knows it's evolving very quickly. So
it has. And it's been really cool to watch. And, you know, walk us through really quickly. You know, Melanie, how have you seen Jackie change in leadership? Like, how has she grown over the years? Because I mean, it's been 14 years. So yeah. There's got to be some massive growth there. And then I want to flip that around, because I'd love to know, Jackie, like, how you feel like you've seen, you know, Melanie grow.
So Jackie, going from teacher to director to executive director, she kind of just stepped into each role very naturally. And Jackie is not afraid to bring someone in and have a conversation with them. And that is probably the hardest thing that I find with every director I have, is managing staff. Like, they just don't want because in this field, whoever is your director has to have a degree in education. They're usually not business people. So we usually have to train them to be managers. That's the hardest part, is when they walk into that management role. And Jackie did it seamlessly. It was not hard for her. And she's really good at being, so you were roommates with Diane. She could be a roommate with somebody and come into work and discipline them and go home and have a drink with them. So that's a really hard balance.
Yes.
And he's really good at it. So
tell us how you do that, because I want to know how to do that too.
I'm just really big on work is work, life is life. Like, I don't have time to come into work and bring everything outside of my life with me. Because if I did that, I don't think I'd be able to get through the work day after day.
Right.
So, and when I go home, when I go home, am I thinking about work a lot, yeah, typically, because you are still getting emails and phone calls and it just doesn't stop. But when I go home, I like to just have home time. Like, I'll be hanging out with some friends and they bring up work and I'm like, can we just hang out? Cause it's been a really busy week. So, yeah. But I can do that. Cause if I don't, mentally you start to shut down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
just what you have to do.
Yeah. It was a really easy natural progression for you. I feel like you're a natural born leader.
Oh, thanks, Mel.
Oh,
well, and that's so, see, and the cool thing about that, though, I think and Christy, we started this podcast because we wanted to learn from people like you guys. We wanted to understand, like, is there an equation? Is there something that makes this relationship work? Because we see so many not work, right? Mm-hmm. And I know you've seen your own not work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why do you think it works with you guys? Like, how has it just gelled?
Well, I think we do balance each other off a little bit, because like, if there is a day where I just need to vent, I can easily get on the phone with her and I'm just venting. And she has pretty much the same advice I'd probably give to somebody venting to me about it too. Mm-hmm. But then I also feel like we just have that balance of professionalism too. Like, when we get our work done, like we have a vision for the school.
I don't know how you find that person. I think that's the issue. How do you find the person that balances you out? I mean, I think it just was luck.
It definitely was like good timing. It was like great timing. Mm-hmm. So, but lucky.
Yeah, I don't really know, like, because I've had a lot of directors at a lot of schools, and I would never trust some of them with my kids. Like,
but it's not just finding them, it's keeping them. It's like a marriage. Like, you fall in love and you get married, and then, like, you guys are 14 years in. What are you doing that's right, that people are listening and they're like, this is how we roll and this is what works for us? Like, what works exactly now?
I give her complete and total freedom. Like, I
a big one.
Trust her. I don't micromanage her. I don't micromanage anybody anymore. And actually, I used to do that. That's, if you asked her the question on how I evolved, I was a micro.
That was definitely one of them.
Yep. Uh-huh. I was. I learned that you have to kind of, like, in order to do manage well, you have to step back and be able to delegate. And so I've become a master delegator. But what was the question?
Well, I don't know what the question was, but you just brought up something that everyone that listens to this podcast struggles with, which is micromanagement. So I want to hear Jackie's point of view on that.
As far as how I
micromanage? Like, was she micromanaging you?
Well, you know, in the beginning, that was probably one of the biggest things for Melanie now, I would say, with her progression, is micromanaging has definitely come to more of a halt-ish.
It has everything to do with lack of trust.
Yeah. But then there's also, she's gotten a lot better with, like, the communication aspect of it all, too, the way she communicates with people. But that's, I think, we all evolve over time. But in the beginning, I think it was really hard because she bought these schools that were a school and then multiple, and then she wants to make it, because every time she bought a school, she had to change it and do her school again. So she micromanaged everyone, because if not, things weren't happening. Curriculum was falling behind. It was kind of like she had to, or otherwise it wasn't happening. So then she kind of got to the point where I came on board, and then I became a little bit more of the micromanager, and she was able to kind of step back just a little bit and allow me to kind of do it. And like, she never really fully, I would say, even really fully micromanaged me so much, because I think we always just kind of had that trust with each other. Mm-hmm. But I've also never really did anything to make her feel like she had to micromanage me. So mm-hmm. it was, but again, we have like the same vision. It's hard. And when she says, like, she kind of gives me that freedom, she does, like, scheduling wise and so forth, but she also knows I don't take advantage of it. So I'm still working and doing a lot. Even if I go home, I'm generally working. So,
like, Jackie went on maternity leave, and I was like, you're going to get me in trouble if you don't stop working. Like, you have to go on maternity leave, and you have to stop coming into work, and you have to stop doing work.
I was bored. It's terrible. I was so bored. I was like, I'm going to go into work now, because, like, it's really, really hard to let go for even that amount of time when it's a business you've been in for so long and that you do truly love doing. So, and I also think that's where we kind of balance each other out too. Like, we're both workers. Like, we are not sitting at home, do nothing people.
I love the work. So that definitely helps. So, yeah.
Jackie, when did you start acting like that business was yours?
I don't even.
Truly, that's what's happened, right? You guys have grown so much together.
I don't even.
It happened. Me saying run it like it's yours happened actually. June-ish.
Yeah.
So we got through the pandemic. I opened, we opened back up. Of course, Jackie worked the whole pandemic. And then I started doing real estate stuff more throughout the pandemic. And that's when I was like, Jack, start running the business like you run it like it's start take it on like it's yours, so I can focus on this too. And the only way I was going to be able to bring something else in is if I kind of just gave up the reins a little bit and said do it. And so that actually did happen in June, mm-hmm. where we had that conversation where I was like forward and just keep me loop. Like, I feel like I'm a CEO. Like, I am a CEO, but I feel like I'm the CEO of like this organization now, whereas I have my vice president or president who comes and she reports everything to me. And I really like, she really does manage the directors, and the directors even have very little interaction with me. I just communicate with Jackie at this point. For the most part, I do talk to them a lot, and I'm on text messages with them too, but everything comes through Jackie. I communicate to Jackie. She communicates it down. The directors communicate it down.
Yeah. And that's our morning calls. Yeah. Like, we're kind of catching up on what she needs to be filled in with everyone and so forth. So,
yeah.
But I would say even like before June, I always kind of treated this like It was mine because I knew how Melanie would handle things, but I never made a decision without going through her first. Like
ever.
That, never.
You
like,
still
even though I know what her decision's going to be, yeah. I still go through her because yeah. realistically it's her business yeah. and I'm never going to make a call without talking to her yeah. first. So, and I still do that,
yeah.
but that's just how it kind of works.
And nobody authorizes a charge or payment on anything unless I approve it personally mm-hmm. at all, or she approves it through me. Like
yeah.
nobody's allowed to pay for anything, write a call, like nothing is allowed to get charged, spent, nothing, unless it is a physical verbal, like I have to physically say yes, text it, write it, something. Nothing gets approved. And I'm the only one who writes checks.
That's the person that was in the financial world, right? So
yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I've seen, so you want to talk about something that happened?
Oh,
whew. I had a director who was stealing money. She was stealing the cash. She was actually the one at the Gilbertsville school. She was enrolling families and telling them if they paid cash, she would give them a discount. So people, it was crazy. Like over a 2-month period, the amount of people that were paying cash, like doubled. And I was like, what is going on here? Why are so many people paying cash? My little detective.
Something just felt so off. I'll never forget that day. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to tell her I'm on my way.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I'm coming to pick up the money. And then she called me. I was like, I took it.
Yeah.
I was like, you what?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I already knew at that point. Yeah. I mean,
right.
It wasn't a lot. It was $3,000 over like a 3-month period. But yeah, Jackie was the one who like honed in on it and she figured it out, and she was the one who outed her, and then she got fired. And I ended up getting the money back because I got
it. Yeah, of course you did. I can just tell. It's funny, I on a coaching call, one of my clients yesterday was talking about how hard it has been for her to earn the trust of her entrepreneur because his previous assistant was paying her personal bills with his money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trust is
not alone.
Huge.
Yeah.
Like it, even when we hire like new directors, it takes me a minute to trust them. Like I have to just kind of, I got to get to know them. There's just, you know, you want the business ran a certain way, but you also want to be able to trust the people that are doing it. Mm-hmm. So
that's why
go ahead.
I like to hire from within if we can. I always try to do that. Because people who like, daycare is a very interesting business. Most daycares are not run like businesses. They're not. If you walk into a lot of schools, people who are running them, unless like a lot of the corporate schools, they're usually run like businesses. But if they're not a corporate school, usually they're not. Again, the owners are usually very emotional people. A lot of them are teachers. They have this dream of owning their own school. So they come and, but the business side of it is so different from being the teacher where you're writing the lesson plans. So like, it's just a very interesting business in that like, I just lost my train of thought again.
I want to ask you a question. You've mentioned the word vision about 25 times, both of you. So I love that because I can feel the passion, and you both seem very clear about that. But as you've grown from one school to two to three to five,
yeah.
how do you ensure that vision is carried out in all of those locations with now you have 50 people instead of five or whatever?
Sometimes it changes though. Over time, I feel like sometimes our vision gets a little bit more intensified or like a little bit more grown into it. So over years, I feel like the vision has definitely changed a little bit. But it's managing it. And so we are constantly having like meetings with the directors.
Oh, that's what we were talking about. Yeah. Hiring from within.
Yeah. So like when you kind of keep like, you kind of have to make sure the people that you are bringing on board for this leadership and things like that understand your vision. And if not, you need to really train them on that, because the only way your team underneath them is going to be able to carry it out is if they fully understand it. So when you don't hire a director from within, what you find yourself having to do is they have to work in classrooms, you know, constantly for weeks and months, because they have to understand the school before they can run it. So it's really hard to hire outside, especially somebody not having daycare experience, because as Melanie said, in order for you to be a director, like you have to have a degree.
In education.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean
or social services.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean you've had a childcare. And sometimes right now hiring has become difficult through the pandemic. And hiring, now people think they're coming right out of school and they're getting hired and taking on, and they're gonna understand everything. And then they get here and they're like, whoa, this is a lot. because you do have high expectations and you do have a vision, but in order for someone to carry it out, they have to understand it. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of how it.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying is that, like, that's why we like to hire from within, because daycares are, it's an interesting business. Like, there, it's not always very professional. So when you come into a business where there is, we hired a director here. She worked at a church school in West Virginia for 20 years, very successful. Like, she came into here and we have a way we do things. She lasted 2 weeks. She could not stand that she had guidelines. Like, she had a program that she had to stay within. And she had, like, I wasn't just going to be like, oh, come on in, you can create your church school. No, this is my school. You're working for me. You're going, it's Willowdale. So you're going to adapt to our program. And she did not like it. She lasted 2 weeks. So, like, that's what happens. That one director you were talking about, she was a teacher. She had the degree. She thought she wanted to manage. She could not manage. She was not good at managing.
Yeah. Which is such an interesting thing. Cause you're talking about teachers, you know, teachers, it's interesting. They can manage their classroom, right? That's what they love and they're passionate about normally. And then the moment that they're managing their peers, right, I think is where that struggle is. And I think that's across the board anywhere, right? Management's just difficult. So what do you guys look for in a good person that can go into management? Like, what things do they need to have?
Well, here's the thing. There's a difference between managing small humans and then, like, adult humans. So,
an adult humans goes for parents and teachers.
And you have, in order to manage a daycare and, like, run it, you have to have really good communication skills. And you have to be able, what we find is often hard is teachers have a hard time going from teacher to director right away because they have now formed this relationship with all their coworkers that it's almost like they can't let go of it when they become a director. You know, they can't reprimand or, like, have a conversation about something they've done or correct something because they're friends. So that's the hard part, is, like, that friendship. So it's like, you really need to hire someone that understands how to manage people, but also how to adapt to different people. Like, you have to understand people's personalities in order to have a conversation with them. Your conversation is going to be different with every single person you talk to, depending on their personality.
One of our most successful directors is at the Avondale School right now, Tacy. She is a bartender, part-time. She was a manager of a restaurant before, and she became an infant teacher. So she's had past management experience similar to the type of people that we, like, teachers that she would be hiring. And she bartended part-time and she knows how to talk to people. So understanding how to manage a restaurant and being a bartender, like, really understanding how to talk to parents, you have to talk to people, parents, you have to talk to your employees, and you have to talk to children. So she was a teacher who had all this extra experience too. She's so good as a director because she can, like, switch on the different personalities depending on what role she has to be in. Like, she can give a tour. She's great at enrolling families because she was a manager and she worked in a restaurant, so she can sell too. And she was a waitress. Like, so having somebody, and she has a degree in education. So it was like, she's just, like, this multifaceted person who is so perfect for the director role because there's so many different types of people that you have to deal with.
Yeah. And she didn't take her long to move up either.
No.
Like,
no.
She was a baby room teacher.
No, and she was identified quickly as somebody who could be a director. Quick. Yeah. Yeah. We're like, oh, you're not going to be a baby room teacher for long.
Yeah. We're moving you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I think too is you have to understand the conversations you are going to have are not all going to be easy. And
not at all.
Like, you have some really hard conversations.
Sometimes you have to talk to people about their hygiene. Like, we've had teachers where we had to be like, that's, you need to wash your hair before you come to work. And, like,
that's hard.
You are a mess.
Yeah, that's typically the Jackie conversation. I feel like I'm always the one that'll call and be like, hey, can you come over and talk about someone's hygiene? I'm like, yep, on my way. Mm-hmm. But, and it is a difficult thing, but I have a really good thing about, like, just not that filter just kind of lacks sometimes. But
sometimes she tells me what she says and I'm like, I can't even believe that you had the guts to say that.
but you have to be direct because no one's ever been direct with them before, or they wouldn't be coming with this problem of not washing their hair, right?
I know.
But then you have some conversation where a parent calls you and it might be something like a really intense conversation. You have to know to really, like, how to respond to them, because that can be, how you respond really determines the outcome of that conversation real fast. So
there's certain conversations that Jackie's better handling than me when it comes to the parents too, because sometimes I'm like, you're ridiculous and I'm not talking to you.
Right. Jackie. I can only imagine. Well, and Jackie, so like, what's your rule of thumb with dealing with some of that stuff? Because I mean, here's the funny thing is like, you guys are dealing with the little humans, which I don't know that there's very many other things where people get real nuts, right? They get nuts about their kids. Yep. The funny thing is people get real nuts with real estate too. So, and buying and selling their house. So what process do you take people through? Like, what does that look like for you?
Like with a parent calling me or something.
Yeah, I mean, when they're angry.
It is so depending upon the situation, but I will tell you the one thing, and I had many parents even say this to me, is I'm pretty honest. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but I say it in a polite way, but I'm also not going to lie to you. Like, if a mistake happens, then we're going to own up to it and we're going to apologize for it and we're going to fix it. And it's not going to happen again. You know, like,
and we're not going to lie.
Yeah.
That's one thing that's not going to happen. Like, we're not going to cover stuff up.
Yeah. Like, I've had a situation where a parent will call and be like, hey, my child came home sad today. They're saying someone in their class doesn't like them, which is a typical conversation that we have often. And I was just like, well, let me find out the details before I respond to this, because I'm not going to give you an answer that I don't know the answer to yet. So, and I think that too creates such a trust with the parents, because they know that if I'm taking the time to go figure it out, then I'm probably going to come back with an answer that's correct. What actually happened. So, but then sometimes you'll have a conversation, which sometimes you can't please everybody. And that's what I often like to say, is not every school is made for everybody. So, I mean, we've had our share of hard conversations with parents that didn't always end the best. And that's just the reality of it. I'm pretty sure every school you ever talk to will probably say that to you. We've had our share of parents who didn't come back after a conversation. So it happens.
And that's okay.
Yeah. But you also have to know your parents. To know how to talk to them. Like, oh, some parents, and I'm pretty sure like when Lindsay was here, like if she had a complaint, her and I could probably just sit down and talk. Like, we've been best friends for like 18 years and have that conversation. But I have some parents, when you sit down, it's like 1, 2, 3. And you have to know who you're talking to.
You do. So you have to know your audience.
Yeah. And you have to adapt to those personalities pretty quickly to have the conversation.
Yeah, you definitely do.
Yeah.
And there's weird things that come up, right? Like,
yeah, there can be some pretty weird things.
I mean, I brought some massively weird things. I'll never forget. I got a phone call and I got called into the office, is what I always said. And they were like, so you sent your kid to, you know, to school with a lunchbox and it had ants in it. And I was like, ants? And I was like, literally was like, I don't even know, like all through my food, all through the food. And I like literally lost it. I just started crying. I was like, I don't even know how they're in there. And it was so funny because Steve was like, you know, I was at the park the other day. I don't know, maybe like I had the lunchbox there, maybe.
That's a hard conversation because you like feel weird being like, hey, by the way,
that's actually not even bad. Like, we've had like worse, like the
bottle of the milk. Like, we have some where we get milk that has spoiled and we have to call the parents and be like, hey, I don't know if you noticed this, but the bottle you sent in is like spoiled. So we're going to have to dump it. Can you come drop it off? But for some people and directors, that's a hard conversation to have. Right. Like, you don't want to embarrass someone.
No,
either.
You don't either. Because honestly, people have stopped. Like, and that's the other thing. When you are in this business, you are here because people are busy working. So we're here so you can go to work. So you can be the busy mom outside of here, because you wouldn't need us if you didn't have a lot going on. So you also have to be respectful and understand. And this is another thing that we always have to drill home. You have to realize that the reason why you have a job is because these people have to go to work. So you have to respect that whatever's going on before they drop their children off, you don't know. So you have to have respect for like the situations that you don't know about. And you can't automatically assume like, okay, there were ants. So she just neglected her kid and grabbed the bag. Like, no, she was busy. She was not paying attention. She grabbed 5 things, was not paying attention, throw it in a bag, because guess what? She probably had a million things going on, didn't go to bed on time, like hardly slept. Like, so.
God, she knows you so well, Lindsay.
Well, I think because that world, that person, that's me. So it's like, everybody, you have to have respect for people's, they're busy. People have their stuff. Lives. So you can't just like. I mean, we've definitely become therapists too in our job. Like, I can't tell I've had many parents come into my office crying, kind of letting go of their feelings about their personal life, and you just listen, because sometimes we're like your go-to. I have parents who spend more time with us than I think anybody. Like, they would just come pick up and spend 20 to 30 minutes talking to us, which is probably one of the things I miss the most since the pandemic, is we don't get that one-on-one time with the parents anymore like we used to, which is kind of like, it's just not the same. But I mean, we still get conversations on the phone, we'll check in, but yeah.
So much crossover with real estate, right, Linz? Like, I'm just saying, everything you're saying, I'm like, we're thinking the same thing. Like, we have to be compassionate for why people are selling their house, and all that. We're thinking about the transaction sometimes, and we forget, well, they're selling it because they're getting divorced or because someone died, or, you know, we have to have that compassion. As we came through the pandemic last year, still dealing with it, and you guys are in PA, so you guys were really shut down for a while. What did you guys learn about your leadership or about yourself or about each other during that time? Because I imagine that was a little bit crazy with your staff and your teachers and all of that.
I will honestly say with the pandemic. First off, I'll never forget that day. Okay. I was like a Sunday
in Vermont.
Yeah. I was actually house sitting for Melanie watching all of her animals, and she calls me and I actually cried. I was like, oh my God, what does this mean for work? I like wasn't even worried about this pandemic. Okay. My
concern nobody was, knew.
We nobody didn't know what happened. Knew. What but I'm like, what do you mean? I can't be out of work. I need to work. Like, I cannot not be at work. So luckily, Melanie, an email came through and she found out she could get a waiver, and she opened up the schools right away. One of them opened up for multiple locations. And through that time, I kind of realized the pandemic was probably actually it was actually kind of great for me for a minute there, because I had a moment of breathing, like, cause you're constantly on the go in this business. There really isn't like major rest times. Like, if you're not dealing with one thing, you're dealing with another, and the weekend comes, you're doing other things. And it was kind of nice to get some balance of time for a couple months there, cause it wasn't as busy. And I kind of found myself pick up back up with my energy a little bit. Cause after 14 years, you know, it kind of gets exhausting after a while, but
I'll be honest with you. The pandemic was a blessing in disguise for me too. Because leading up to that, hiring was so hard. Yeah. It was, and staffing is probably the hardest aspect of this job, because it's really hard to find quality people who want to work in this business, because it is not a high paying job. When you're dealing with a workforce employees, like, it is hard. It is hard to find people who want to do the job, and it, like, the people who truly, truly love it. We have such a good staff right now. So what the pandemic did was weed out the people who were not great. It brought our enrollment down, definitely. But right now we have such a great staff right now. Our directors are in such a good place, and it forced me to slow down. It was like it was like an automatic reset. It was a very stressful reset, because I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, it was definitely stressful. We didn't know what was going on, but it was definitely like,
PPP came out, and while it wasn't like the life-saving thing that like they hoped it would be, it eased the burden. We opened up in June, but we had the Kenneth Square School was open the whole time, and that was fine. We had like 30 kids. We opened up in June, very low enrollment. I don't think the enrollment went back up until September, October. Yeah. And it's still not where it was in March, but we're probably about 90% of where we were in March, which is not terrible.
Yeah.
Honestly, for me, it was a reflection too. And that's why we had that conversation in June, because I was like, all right, that was the first time that I realized that I owned a business where I didn't have control of it. And that scared me to death. Like, I was like, Melanie, you need a backup plan. So, and that's why now I'm doing, like, I was like, Jackie, you run these businesses like they're yours. I need to get my backup plan going right now, because I need to have multi things. Like, I have to have other stuff going on too. It scared the crap out of
Melanie
me.
Melanie never does just one thing.
No, I never
time,
do anyway. Yeah, no, I
she's
never
not
do anyway.
On one thing at a time. She'll call me with something. I'm like, yep, I was waiting. Things got really quiet for a minute. You weren't as busy. Things weren't as busy. And I was waiting for you to say, like, my husband even got to the point where he's like, so is Melanie up to anything? Because it's been quiet. And I'm like, yeah, something's coming soon.
Yeah.
Because she's not like a sit still person. She needs like things going on.
Well, what I love about your relationship, it seems like you really love for her to have lots of things going on, which we talk about a lot.
I'm like, this girl needs another activity, something else. She's getting bored. Because it is, you, when things are running so successfully, you don't really have to put as much into it at that moment. So mm-hmm. for her, she is not a sit still person. Like mm-hmm. she needs to have more going on, which I get, because I'm not really a sit still person either. But I'm never really sitting still either. Never. So there's just a lot happening. Yeah. But five schools, there's always something. There's always a call. There's somebody or something. Mm-hmm. But
I think we've become so efficient at what we do, Jackie and I, over the last 14 years, that it's like I'm not even needed anymore, because she became so good at the job.
That is, and you know, so many people that come on this show will say, I hired somebody that was better than me even, and really saw my vision and was able to take it and make it better.
Yeah, that's exactly what I have.
Which is
definitely been good. Like, and I've always enjoyed my position here, which makes it easy. And like everyone, it's so funny, because when I have conversations with people, they're like, you know, your boss like not get along. Like, there'll always be people will be complaining. I was like, actually, we have a pretty good relationship.
Like, we're like friends too. Yeah, like she like, I like trust her with everything. Like, not even just my businesses, like everything. And if I'm letting somebody sleep over my house, like I really do trust them, because I don't even like, I'm going to be honest, I don't like my clients even really knowing where I live. I don't like my employees knowing where I live. Like, I'm a pretty private person in that aspect, because I have so many clients and these jobs, and we've become successful, and I've gotten a lot of scrutiny too. So that also has led to me becoming a little bit more introverted. And that's another reason why I kind of stepped out of the spotlight, because the more successful that the businesses have become, the more criticism I started to receive from clients and people who've worked for me. And it kind of made me be like, I'll back up. I don't need to be the front person. I have people who are very capable of being that front person. So I'm the background person now. So that evolved. Yeah. That was an evolution too. Sometimes people just don't like to see you be very successful.
But it's almost like she's the background person that people just assume doesn't know what's going on. I know. She knows everything. Like, she'll, like, I always fill her in. And it's so funny, because sometimes people just think she has no clue what's going on in schools. Or like a parent would be like, you know, Melanie, does she know this is happening? I'm like, well, yeah, I already told her. Like, generally, Melanie would be like, yeah, I already knew that. Jackie, fill me in. Because I, again, this is not my business. So, like, I am my full thought is, if I owned it, I would want to know, and I don't want to make a decision or leave her in the dark. So I'll be like, here's what's going on. And she'll, you know.
Jackie, what keeps you running someone else's business instead of starting your own?
Good question.
I think I've just been comfortable. I don't even know. Starting a daycare is not easy, P.S. So
you need a lot of money.
There's a lot of money involved there, but it's also, I don't know. I also, my daughter's still kind of evolving through here too. So I don't know.
Jackie will have her in school eventually.
Yeah.
We're five.
And you know, what's so beautiful about all of that is that, the truth is, I think a lot of times, you know, you haven't given her any reason to go figure out how to do that, right? Like, you're taking care of her, and she is your person, and you guys have such an amazing relationship that, you know, when you have those things, I don't think you have to look. It's when you don't have those things that people start looking, right? It's the absence of value that mm-hmm. makes somebody else go and say, okay, I can do this better, you know, or myself.
I've had people reach out. I actually had some random guy call me.
I called him.
To offer me a job for another daycare center at work. And I called Melanie. I'm like, hey, just want to make you aware. And she was like, give me his number now. She told him. I was like,
oh man, what was that? Tell me, what was that conversation, Melanie?
I said, who the hell are you to call my director at work? I said, how about you go on the recruiting sites and look for people who are actually looking for jobs instead of trying to steal mine?
Yeah, it's almost like he knew too much about me too. Like, he was like,
I'm going to tell you, all the people who are watching, do not put your employees on your website.
Yeah, that's
so when you're a daycare center, you put your employees on your website. Guess what? I don't have a director on my website anymore. Not one.
Yeah.
I just had those same conversations with people I'm trying to recruit away. And I am like, I'm sorry. I've been hired to find somebody. I'm calling your people.
And that's what he said. That's exactly what he said. He's like, I'm just doing my job. I'm like, well, do it somewhere else.
Yeah, next time you should just recruit him away.
it was hilarious. I was like, no. And like, I kind of was just kind of listening to him, but I was like, I have no intention. So I called her and I was like, oh, so this was random. And he called me at our Gilbertsville location for Chester County. But he had to do a lot of calling to figure out where I was. And I was like, this is just
called,
so
like,
weird.
Three schools to find.
Yeah. I was like, this is awkward.
I need that person's phone number so I can hire him.
Yeah.
So really quickly, because I know that this, I feel like this is a really important topic. And it's one that we kind of threw out there, and Christy was really interested in it. How, you know, what drives your culture with the teachers, and how do you keep, like, what does that look like for you guys? How do you make sure all those schools like feel the same and they have the same, you know, culture?
Well, here's the one thing I will say. I am a big, big fan of feeding off of some of my teachers too, because some of my teachers have different visions for their classrooms, not curriculum wise, but like in their classrooms and what they do and how it looks. And I think the really big thing for us too is we also have to be open to some changes. You know, I just had like one of my teachers here in my pre-K room was like, hey, what do you feel about me doing the same lesson for 2 weeks? And I was like, for your room, go for it. Because I know she can do it. Like, she has such an intense lesson plan. So it's definitely something she can do. So when you walk into our schools, the biggest thing for us is we want it to be a homey feeling. We want you to feel welcomed. We want you to feel like this is somewhere your kids can go and you feel safe. But every school can be a little bit different depending, because, like, you know, you have different directors and different personalities, but like our biggest thing is that you are comfortable and that you're coming into a good school and a good environment.
The curriculum's the same at every school.
The same.
The schedules are very similar at every school. The processes are similar.
Yeah.
There is room for flexibility when it comes to activities. Mm-hmm. The teachers are allowed to have creativity in their lesson plans. So we don't write lesson plans for the teachers. They all write their own lesson plans. So, and that's another thing, like that's where it's important to hire good quality teachers, because our teachers aren't given lesson plans. So we really have to hire people who have the initiative to do it and to understand how to do it too. So we actually, and I think that's why we're successful at keeping teachers for a long time, is because we do give them flexibility too. And that's important, because they need to feel like they have a say and that their voice matters. And it does, because we're not successful if they're not happy in their position and they don't feel successful in their job. So recognizing that they need to feel valued too is huge. And it's hard to do that, because a lot of times people want to get recognition from me personally. Uh-huh. And I'm not I'm not a nice, like, emotional, like, oh, you're doing a great job. So like, I have to actually force myself to make an effort and remind myself to go back and be like, if someone does something extra special, you have to like reach out. So like, even some of my teachers that we've had for a long time, they have my cell phone number, because like, I try to make people, like, I do still want to have that personal connection. Even some of the parents have my cell phone number that have been here for a really, really long time. I still do want to have those personal connections. I just can't do it with 50 employees, with everybody. So, but if you've been here for a long time, you usually do have my cell phone number.
And it definitely falls back into your trust though. Like,
yeah.
You have the trust.
Yeah. And it's consistent work ethic that is applicable to my business and to the overall feeling of the school over time, where you develop that situation where you can reach out to me and be one-on-one with me. Like, somebody coming in off the street's not going to ever get my cell phone number until they've been here for a little while and they prove that they are dedicated to the school.
Yeah.
Lindsay, do you have her number?
I do.
I mean, we typically know too if teachers are going to last long or not. I mean, we're pretty good with some.
Yeah,
we
you
know
can
if they're
going to
be somebody down the line.
You can tell.
You know? And that's what makes it hard too. Like, this isn't a job for everyone long term.
No,
sometimes this is a stepping stone for their next career. So that makes
and that's okay too.
Hard.
That's okay too.
So staffing can be hard in this field because of that, but.
And that doesn't affect you guys like emotionally, or did it ever in your 14 years? Was it? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely affect as a director. It definitely affects you more. Because as a director, you feel it more. That anxiety of like, oh, okay, this person's coming in, she's leaving soon.
Oh, yeah.
They quit. I have to find somebody quickly as a director, because you're more so working with them one-on-one. So more frequently, it definitely can be, you feel that, but I would say in our position, not as
I don't
much,
get emotionally
no.
attached. There's only one person I would care that left us, Jackie.
Yeah, Melly does not emotionally get attached. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I have like a handful of people here that I really, between all the schools.
Lindsay, I would be upset. Yeah. I love Lindsay.
Yeah.
Kelly.
Yeah. Justine.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, there's at every school, there's definitely a few.
Yeah, there's a couple at every school. Yeah.
I could probably name quite a few. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have our.
I could probably go through every school.
You have like an amazing baby teacher of Westchester. I mean, you have just, definitely have people you're like, wow. But then you have people you know are coming in and it's not going to last long. And that is the reality of childcare. That's the reality of daycare. It's always one of the main questions I feel like you're asked during a tour. How's your turnover? And you want to be like, well, it's daycare. So it isn't always the best, but you do have those handful of people that have been here a while.
Probably at every school, we have our core staff.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, when I was there, there was a number of people that were there for a long time.
Like Becca just left. She had been here for
forever.
Eight years.
But she had to make a personal decision, which we get. Like, you have to make personal decisions because of your family. But COVID changed a lot for people.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, it did. People have to make hard decisions.
Yeah.
Yep.
So for the parents that are listening, I would be remiss for, this isn't really on topic, but I'd be remiss for not asking. Parents who are listening, we have so many clients, Lindsay and I, that we coach who have kids at home and are like putting them back in daycare and all that. Give some advice to those parents of what they can do as parents to help their kids be successful coming back into the daycare situation post-pandemic.
That's a great one.
Honestly, this is where Melanie and I shut them up and go.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I'm going to say. But I'm going to say it nicer than that. I think often what we forget as parents is it's harder on us than it is the kids, right? So any big adjustments are often so much easier on children. It's so much harder on us as parents. I have been working in this field for so long, and before I had a child, I was like, oh, it's fine, blah, blah, blah. And then I had a kid, and I was like, oh, it might be a little hard. But then I'm like, no, it's fine. But for some parents who haven't worked in this industry, it's hard. They're like, my kid's going to be upset. It's going to be a hard adjustment. And my biggest thing is drop your kid off and go. Like, just walk away. Because sometimes that longer duration of drop off can be hard. But
some things are different,
though.
Some
people need to ease in.
But there's no transition in anymore. So the thing is, they're dropping off the door now. So that's different.
Yeah, pandemic.
That would have been great for me.
Kids have to wear masks.
I know. Because I would be like, see ya.
I know.
Yeah. Actually, I'm like, try to keep this.
And the thing, and the mask too. Like, kids have to wear the mask, which can be uncomfortable for some kids. And it's like two and up that they're saying it for. And let's be realistic.
Two-year-olds are not doing
it. They're like
it all
eating
the time.
Their mask. They're like licking it. It's in their mouth. It's on their forehead. I'm like, what is happening? But that's common. But our threes, fours, and fives do pretty well with it. Yeah. And that can be a transition.
Start training them on that.
Home. Do it at home. You know, go to the grocery store, have them wear their masks, things like that.
Talk to them about it.
Yeah, but we have been open through pretty much, well, this whole time, and we've been pretty good with the whole COVID thing. Like, it's been a pretty good.
So daycares are actually proven to be really, I'm not quite sure what it is. Our group sizes are smaller than regular schools, but there's not a lot of transmission, and we're not having a lot of instances with COVID. We've had a few, but nothing where I've ever had to shut down an entire school for an extended period of time. Nothing like that at all. So it's like, if you have a kid who was in daycare and they're sitting at home right now and you can afford to put them in daycare, you should, because the socialization is more important. Like, they're going to have a harder time getting used to being reclusive in a house and not having social interaction than the chances of them getting COVID at the school are very low because the group sizes are small. So just put them back in school. Yeah. And you can't forget that kids need to be kids. And this pandemic has forced people inside, and the kids can't suffer because of this. Like, we have to minimize the effect on the kids. And if they can be in social groups and be safe, and we see how it's proven and we see how it's working really well, then do it. And if you can afford to put them back in school, put them back in part-time. If you don't feel comfortable putting them in full-time, at least get them interacting with their peers again. Like, they need to be kids.
Yeah.
That's probably, for me, the most important
thing. It's super important. Socialization's important. I actually have gotten a lot of tours recently, and they're like, I need my child socialized. I need them. Actually, the biggest thing I'm hearing now is, I'm working from home. I need them out of my hair. Like, yeah, I was going to wait and see how long that would take, but they're like, I can't do it anymore. I have this one screaming and I get it. I mean, and then they're like, how do you do it all day? I'm like, well, here, that's not how
well, they're occupied all day long and they're with their friends. Yeah. They're having fun.
I mean, and Lindsay, you know, from being in childcare, kids were always sick. I mean, kids are always having colds. I will tell you, this has been one of the,
I know they're not sick.
Right. I know.
No one is sick. Well,
you know what? Also too, so like in a normal year with the flu and everything, parents will send their kids to school sick. Yeah. Nobody is taking any risks this year or with anything. Their kids have a sniffle. They're keeping them home. Everybody's home anyway. So nobody's getting sick in daycare. Like it's just, it's great.
Yeah.
But I think most importantly, if you can afford to put your child in daycare, you should. If you had them in daycare before and you were already comfortable with it, because they need to be kids.
They definitely do.
They shouldn't suffer because of this.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, we want to be respectful of your time. We're so thankful that you came on here today. You guys gave us so many things to think about. If people want to get a hold of you guys, probably get a hold of Jackie, not Melanie, right? but how do they get a hold of you? What can they do to say hi to you and ask you questions?
Yep. So just feel free. If you go right on, you can actually Google us, Willowdale Children's Academy, or go to our willowdalechildrens.com website, and you'll see all of our numbers listed in our emails, but feel free to email us. If you want to schedule a tour or anything like that, just reach out.
Or if you want to reach out to us, send the email to chadsford@willowdalechildrens.com. And we both get the emails. I am not completely like out of it. I am 100% sure. Right. 100%
sure. It always comes out.
I am tuned in every day, all day. It's just I'm not physically here. So I get all the emails. I see everything. So if you really want to ask questions, if you want to come in, like just send us an email.
Yeah.
Love it. Awesome. Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you so much for being honest and bringing this truth. We have loved getting to know you, and I'm sure people will reach out to say hi, and hopefully we'll get you some more kids enrolled. So that would be great.
All right.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys. Bye.